Welcome everyone to this episode of Speaking of Translation. I'm Eve Beaudeux.
And I'm Corinne McKay. Thanks for joining us.
So in this episode, we'll be talking about setting goals for your freelance business and specifically how to make 2018 your best year yet.
We are just a couple of weeks into the new year, so as Eve and I have been thinking about our own business goals, we thought that we would share some of those planning tips with you. And before we get started, I wanted to mention that if you enjoy this podcast, you might want to check out our other offerings on similar topics. Specifically, Eve's book, Maintaining Your Second Language, which is available on Amazon, and my online courses, which you can find in the Classes tab on my website, thoughtsontranslation.com. So now on to our main topic. First, I thought we could talk about how to set goals in the first place. And in my experience, one challenge for a lot of freelance translators or interpreters or language professionals in general is setting goals that are specific enough to be helpful or knowing the underlying reasons behind the goal. So as an example, I think that a lot of people at this time of year set the goal that they would like to earn more money, but they don't really drill down into that, for example, by identifying what is really the problem causing the low income. Do they have enough work, but the work is too low paying to meet their income goals, so they're working all the time, but still not making enough money? Or if the problem isn't low rates, but just purely not having enough work in general. So, Eve, did you want to talk about some ways to get specific about your goals?
Yeah, thanks, Corinne. So there is a pun-filled acronym that some of our listeners may have heard of before, but I think that it fits perfectly in this context, and we wanted to kind of bring it into our context. So that is the term SMART goal, S-M-A-R-T. And so in this case, each letter of the word SMART tells you how to be smart about setting goals. So starting off with the S, S means, like you were talking about, Corinne, it means specific. So you need your goals to be well-defined so that they are meaningful to you, so that they are actually concrete, and so that they can be tracked. So this helps you, not you specifically, Corinne, but you as in anyone, mm-hmm. to better focus on your goal. So for example, rather than saying, I want to make a lot of money, like you said, you would say, I want to focus on increasing my monthly income by 20% by getting 2 new regular clients. So that's an example of a very specific goal, which may vary, vary, of course, depending on who's talking. Or I want to increase my per word rate by X percent for every new client I sign on with the goal of signing up, 10 new clients or whatever by year's end. So those are really specific. So the first thing in the SMART is specific. So. Did you have anything you want to add there, Corinne, before I go on to the letter M?
No, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about, though, that I think, that a lot of us have the tendency to just go, like, I'm not making enough money. I don't have enough work. You know, things like students in my classes say things like that a lot. But I think that with the more specific that you can get, the first thing I always ask people is, when you say that you're not making enough money, do you mean you have enough work, but the work is low paying, or do you mean that you don't have enough work? Because those are two very different things. Like, you would address those in two very different ways. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Then we'll go on to the next letter, which is M. And that means that we want our goals to be measurable. Concrete terms. So in the example I just gave, you can measure progress towards the goal by seeing if you actually do get 2 new clients successfully, you're successful in doing that, and then in turn that they indeed increase your monthly income by 20%. So you can measure that. And so for anybody's own specific case, you can use other metrics. So if you keep stats on your business, which you should do, you can, for example, compare your sales from month to month for 2018. So like from comparing January to February. But another thing to do that you'll often hear about, like in, if you read any kind of reports on, public companies or that kind of thing, is that you can also compare a month to month from 1 year to the next, which obviously, so then I would compare, February 2018 2018 to what did I make in February 2017? And, you know, think, okay, well, I made more money in 2017 than 2018. Why is that? Or why do I think that is? Or whatever. So another stat you could get is what industry or type of client does most of your income come from? So is that projects that you prefer and you love them or you hate them? You know, do you want to actually change that dynamic or do you want to increase that dynamic or that kind of thing? So as I'm talking about getting these stats, you may be asking yourself, you know, how do I do that? So I do that using QuickBooks. I've used QuickBooks for 20 years. I'm not that great at it, but over the years, I actually hate QuickBooks. I don't hate QuickBooks. I just hate accounting in general, as some of you may know from me talking before.
Right.
But this that's why, as we talked about before, I actually give most of the accounting function out to a CPA and a bookkeeper. But one of the things I like about QuickBooks is that it does give me different reports for these types of things. And sometimes you have to think about it up front and put in data so that you can get that data back out. Like I track, you know, every time I pay a subcontractor, then I track who that was for so that I can see how profitable that client is, for example. So sometimes you have to do a little bit of upfront work. But I think that any kind of software that translators use, you should be able to get some reports out of. And even if you use Excel, which I know a lot of people do, as your accounting software, you can, you know, look at it, and there's ways that you can do comparisons. So take the time to do it, and I think that can show you some very interesting trends and information about your business that will in turn, you know, once you unlock these stats, that'll help you make very specific goals as a result of that particular exercise, which will in turn be measurable. So I had another example was if your goal is to translate more efficiently, for example, from a profit perspective, because everything doesn't have to be, I mean, you want it to be measurable, but you don't need it to be, you know, 20%, 10%, whatever. You can think to yourself, I want to translate more efficiently from a profit perspective because I feel like I do too much on administrative tasks or whatever. So, for example, in that case, you could compare the hourly rate that you make on various projects as opposed to your per word rate, because I know there are people who charge hourly or who look at things hourly, but I do think, and you can tell me what you think, Corinne, that the bulk of our industry is still focused on the per word rate. And even if you're doing that quoting, you don't have to do that when you're analyzing your, you know, your own business. You can just look at it from a per hourly rate.
Correct.
So, yeah. So doing so would, I think, in that case, would obviously entail keeping track of how many total hours you spend on a given project, dividing it by the total amount earned. So this is often more revealing. It's a more revealing metric than a straight per word rate, and it tells you how efficiently your time is actually being spent, which would go towards that goal of, you know, I want to be more efficient or whatever. So. So I just, as I mentioned, I just think keeping these kind of stats can really help you define your goals too, because it'll reveal things about your business that you may not have seen up front. So before we go on to the letter A, Corinne, I wanted to give you a chance to chime in. Did you want to say anything else on that?
Yeah, no, I think I agree with everything you said. And I also think that the more measurement you do, you may find things that will surprise you. So one thing I always find is I think we all know our top two or perhaps three earning clients. So if I had to ask you, you know, your top grossing clients from last year, who were they? But you would probably be surprised by number 4, 5, and 6, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I look at those, I think, huh, that's actually a client I need to be paying more attention to. Because I don't think of them as, you know, contributing that much to my overall income, and they actually do. Or I should look for more clients like that, you know? So
right.
I think,
that's what I think is kind of a hidden key thing, too, is that, oh, I actually really like working for so-and-so in that industry. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I get, you know, like you said, whatever, they're the top fourth grossing client. I want to focus on that more or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, okay, cool.
Yep.
Okay, so getting back to the SMART idea, our next letter in the word is A, and that stands for attainable. And so I think the idea is here that while we do want to stretch ourselves, because otherwise we won't be making progress, we don't want to set ourselves up for failure, on the other hand. So the goal in the example wasn't that I wanted to become a millionaire dollar – not that I wanted to become a million-dollar company in 6 months, which probably is not going to happen. But instead, it was something that was quite attainable if I were to carefully map out a strategy to make it happen. So I could, you know, it's feasible and not like wildly crazy that I could increase my income by 20% and get 2 new clients or whatever is applicable to someone's particular situation. So, okay. Did you want to comment on that before we go to the letter R?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. So R and the R in smart is for relevant. And I think this means that the goals are professional. Of course, we're talking about professional goals here. And you want them to be relevant to your broader business goals. So if your overall business goal is to expand, for example, to have more international clients, then a specific goal of marketing to 5 non-domestic clients a week would contribute to that overall goal. So you want to stay on track with your relevant goals. And you can do that by continually asking yourself why you're trying to reach this goal and make sure that you like that answer, that you're, you know, okay. Also, you want to revisit your goals throughout the year and refine them if you need to. So the last thing in the word is T, which means you have a specific time period within you accomplish the goal. So even though we're talking about 2018, it doesn't mean that it's the whole year. It could be that you set a goal for yourself for the first half of the year, something that you do every quarter or by year's end or whatever. But it just means that you have a specific time limit on it so that you can actually assess and see how you're doing. So kind of wrapping all that up, I wanted to say that also, if you don't always reach your goal, don't despair. Celebrate what you did right and refine and redefine new goals as a result of that, not reaching the original goal that you had. And I also think it's fun to give yourself a little reward to celebrate successes that you have along the way. So, for example, if you reach a goal, you know, buy yourself a new novel in your second language or eat a piece of cake or whatever makes you happy so that you have a little kind of a little fun pick-me-up. So, Corinne,
great.
I am sure that you have additional tips that are related to setting goals. So could you share those with us?
Sure. So I'd say, to piggyback a little bit on a couple of the items you said, I would say in terms of time, I think there are goals that a long time period is critical. If you say, like, I want to add a new working language to my repertoire of services, that is a long-term goal. Mm-hmm. But I think there is something about the time period of 3 months that it works really well for goals such as, I'd like to find one new direct client. I think that it is short enough that it feels imperative to start working on it, but it is long enough that you should see a trend happening. So, for example, if you say, you know, my goal for this year for my business is to increase my gross income by 20%, that I think within 3 months, if you haven't made any progress, a 20% yearly increase is a pretty big task for 9 months. So I like the time period. I like the time frame of 3 months personally.
And especially to check in, like you're saying, if you have that long-term thing of a goal, maybe you have the milestones at 3 months, you know, like you're saying for the 20% thing, you check in at the 3 month, you know, check in with yourself at 3 months.
Right. At 3 months. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think another thing I was going to say is that I find that a lot of freelancers have a tendency to focus on the negative. So when you look back at 2017, you think, you know, this was supposed to be the year that I was really going to switch over to the direct client market, and I didn't do it. This was the year that I was supposed to break 6 figures, and I didn't do it. And those are pretty discouraging to focus on. I can actually see myself in a number of those examples from, let's say, like 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think not in a Pollyanna way, but in a developmental way, you can actually make bigger changes in your business by focusing on what's going right and why it's going right. So, for example, look at your best client. What about them makes them so desirable to work with? How did they find you, or how did you find them? How can you connect with other clients like them? Might they be in a position to refer you to other people who work in the same industry? There we're talking about direct clients, because I don't think agencies are going to refer you.
They want you all
to themselves. But could that, you know, content marketing agency in Germany that found you through your website, could they maybe refer you to other content marketing clients because they probably know people who do the same job? Then use that as a springboard to find more clients like them. Or, for example, you could look at what was your highest earning month in last year, then figure out what made that month so successful and how you can duplicate that in the future.
I love that idea, Corinne, because, you know, I do, like I do that too, like you said, sometimes, you know, like I think, oh, you know, well, this didn't happen or whatever, but to flip it on its head is a much more positive way to look at it and think, okay, that's nice, but what about my successes and how can I leverage those?
Yeah. Well, and one thing I often do with students in my classes who are setting income goals is that I say, you know, for someone who's making, let's say, you know, $45,000 now and wants to break into six-figure market, doing that in 1 year would be a pretty big task. I mean, I've seen people do it, but it's a pretty ambitious task. But instead, let's do this. Let's say, what was your highest grossing month in 2017? Okay, if you can do that for 1 month, you could do that for 12 months. I mean, you've seen that it's possible in 1 month. And so let's extrapolate and say, if your highest grossing month had been your average monthly income, how much would you have made? And I think that that is, you know, for that, that sort of, you know, like you said, turning it on its head and saying, you know, I think it's a way to set goals that are ambitious but achievable, to say, you know, if I did this once, I can do it again, you know, or like my ideal client, this client that I love working with right now, they can't be the only client out there like them, you know.
Right.
I have to be able to duplicate that accomplishment, you know. And so I think that's a lot more developmental about just like lamenting what you didn't do.
Right.
So Eve, moving on to a new topic, what kinds of goals do you think are most helpful for freelancers to set? I know we talked about SMART, but I mean like categories of goals do you think people should be looking at?
So really for individuals to narrow it down, of course I'm going to say this, you know, qualifying, it really depends on where a freelancer is in their own career path, but I do think there are some goals, you know, that can be applicable to everybody, and you kind of have to refine it, you know, for yourself and however that works for you. But of course, one of them is financial goals that we've been talking about. We always want to think about how we can grow our business and not keep stagnant. So I do think this could either be like we've been talking about, earning more money, or at least, you know, making sure that you always have a current pipeline, the replacing clients to leave. And clients are going to leave for whatever reason. Maybe you don't like them. They don't like you. Maybe they close down, or who knows. It could be nothing that's negative, but this, it's just a fact of business, is that there's always going to be kind of a recycling, cycling through, right? So I think one of those, focusing on that too, is always adding to your client pool. Another area that you kind of alluded to, Corinne, that can be useful to focus on is creating a new niche for yourself. So we've talked about that in different podcasts in the past, but specializing really does open up doors for you. And you talked, I guess you just mentioned, you know, focusing on perhaps adding a new language to your stable of languages, but I think opening up new niches. So a goal could be to try to expand your contacts and clients in a certain area of specialty, or to improve your expertise in that particular niche so that you're more marketable, for example. And of course, like you mentioned, one of my personal favorites is the focus of improving your language skills. So obviously this doesn't mean that your language skills aren't already good, but I hope they're good.
Let's hope. Right. Let's hope.
but since, if we don't purposely focus on maintaining our language skills as professional linguists, they will atrophy. And our language skills are obviously the tools of our trade. So it's a very worthwhile goal to make sure that you maintain a very high level in both your source and target languages. So I think the point that I'm making overall here is, rather than just focusing on money, if we focus on some of the goals to make us a more desirable or more skilled translator, more higher earnings will eventually follow in that path. So tell us some of your thoughts about that, Corinne.
Yeah, so I think you made some great points there. And I would add that when you think about skills development or professional development goals, I think it's good to have both an objective goal and a progressive goal that you know you can achieve even if you don't reach the objective goal. So I'll give you an example of one of my 2018 goals. So for a while, I've had this sort of, I think anyone who has listened to our podcast knows that I think everyone should have at least one big crazy dream going on in their business. So if you have one, you can say what it is after I answer mine, Eve.
I think everyone
needs at least one big crazy dream. And mine is getting back into interpreting and taking it to a sort of higher level. So I did a small amount of interpreting when my daughter was little, and I really enjoyed it, but I let it drop. This is, my daughter's 15 now, so this is well over 10 years ago, more like 13 or 14 years ago, because it just didn't fit in with how much I needed to be at home when she was little and didn't go to school for a full day yet. So now that I'm on the other end of the spectrum and looking at her now being a sophomore in high school and going to college in another 3 years, terrifyingly enough, I thought, you know, I'd kind of like to give this another try. So as an objective goal, I think that it is ambitious but potentially achievable that maybe with 1 to 2 years of study that I could pass the state consortium court interpreter exam. But in working toward that goal, which I've now started doing, I will certainly improve my spoken French and vocabulary knowledge, which is a goal that, you know, as you said, Eve, that I'm like perpetually working on, because where even I live in Colorado, there is not a substantial French speaking community. I'm the only person in my family who speaks French. I work at a co-working office, you know, where there are no other translators, things like that. So that's an example that even if I don't reach the objective goal, either because I decide I don't want to or because I take the court interpreter exam in, you know, 2020 or whenever and fail it, certainly possible, it's something that I want to work on anyway. And so I think that's a good strategy for a lot of people, is choose something where you think, you know, here's the ultimate goal, but even in making progress toward that goal, I will achieve something I want to achieve anyway. So Eve, in the spirit of doing this exercise along with our listeners, did you want to share any of your own goals for 2018? And if you have a big crazy dream, you can tell us, but you certainly don't have to.
I don't know. I'm sure I have a crazy dream, but I don't know. My crazy dream is not as concrete as yours. My crazy dream is probably more being able to implement more of the like traveling freelance lifestyle. And I feel like maybe I can do that when my kids are, you know, I have a seventh grader, which for those of you who aren't in the U.S., he's 12. So he still has a couple more years in school, but I think that would be a little ways off where my husband and I both want to retire early and,
location independent.
Yeah. So, no, I even imagine myself when we retired, I'll still be doing this, or when he's retired, right? But, yeah, I'm really into the idea of the location-specific location agnostic.
Independent. Yeah, location-independent. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, but that's a ways off. So, yeah, my goals to talk to you about for this year are, one of them is, I have three kind of different categories, is to complete the book I'm writing, I have taken a lot of notes on, and started writing but haven't finished, on traveling with kids ages 0 to 14 to Paris, like international travel. So I've taken my kids there. Yeah, I've taken my kids there since they were infants, and I have a lot of tips and tricks and knowledge to share, I think, with international travelers, so that it's fun for the entire family and not just the kids. And I think I'm sure other people have taken their kids to Paris, but I've been doing it, you know, like once a year or so since they were babies for 15 years. So I figure I have a lot of stuff to share. So,
and you stay for extended periods of time. So I think you have a perspective that's different from the average tourist who goes and stays in a hotel for 3 nights, that you know about, you know, finding long stay lodging that works with children, and, you know, how to plan out the day when you're going to be there for days and days at a time, so you're not just like hauling your crying, exhausted children to another museum.
And which people could apply even if they were staying for the 3 day thing, but I can kind of help them and see that bigger picture. This is related to my professional goals, because since while I love sharing my knowledge and experience on this somewhat niche topic, I also consider it as a way to earn some additional money. So that's kind of, you know, related to the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So secondly, more directly related to translation, one of my perpetual goals is to increase my client base in Europe, and specifically in France or other French speaking countries. And I love being able to use my language skills. It just makes me like happy, you know, like all of us, that not just translation, you know, of course I love doing the actual translation, but I like being able to actually kind of apply those skills in a different way that are helping me actually acquire new clients. And I feel like I'm using my French language skills to literally feed my family in that way by convincing people to buy my translation services. So I think that's fun, you know. And within that, I do plan to use the SMART goal approach to break this down into specific goals, you know, for kind of two sub areas there, with a marketing plan and marketing materials, because you need both of those, right? And I'm always kind of trying to renew that for that that focus on getting the European client base. And on a more personal level, but related to work-life balance, I may have mentioned, this is my third goal, I have may have mentioned before that I recently moved with my family to a new house in a new town. And just for our listeners, that's about 20 minutes before from where I was before, and it's 20 minutes closer to Corinne. So,
yeah.
So it was life change for us, but it wasn't like we moved to a whole new, country or anything. And so, but with that, I'm really trying to be less focused on working a zillion hours a day, and I'm trying to enjoy the wonderful community that we've moved into. And the specific goals I have for that is that I want to sign up for guitar lessons and knitting lessons. And I want to apply that knowledge that I've learned to having family sing-alongs, because my family is big on music, we're music nerds, and also making something that is not ugly and knitting something that is not ugly. Those are my goals for the guitar and knitting. So, and since I told you all this, you can hold me accountable throughout the year and say, have you learned guitar? Have you learned how to knit? So those are my three goals for the year.
Fantastic. And then we can knit together too, among all of the other things that we like to do together.
Corinne is a good knitter. Yeah. I think I have to take some classes separately before I knit with you. And then you can tell me like some of the better, refine my skills. So,
That's right.
So can you tell us some of your goals for 2018?
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, I want to work on my interpreting and spoken French skills. This is the first year of my term as ATA president, so I have tons of goals for that, too many to even list here. And in my own business, I'd like to translate another book. And I'd like to launch a translation technique course. So right now, all of the classes that I teach are business skills, and I'd like to offer some actual translation technique classes, probably not even taught by me, but run through my existing course system. And I'd like to continue to expand the content marketing writing side of my business, which I found that I really enjoy, and I do that both for translation clients who need English content marketing, and then a few clients that just need English content marketing writing unrelated to translation. Mm-hmm. So another thing, and this kind of ties into your guitar and knitting and enjoying life goals, Eve, is one thing I've been thinking about is how my own health and happiness and wellness ties very closely into the success of my business. So I think a lot of the time we as freelancers think that when we take time to exercise or spend time with friends or pursue non-work interests or even get enough sleep, that we're sort of being slackers, like we're stealing time away from work to do those other things, because the truly productive thing would be to be at our desk, 12 to 14 hours a day. And lately I feel that in fact the opposite is true. That we all know that we should try to enjoy life because life is short. I mean, I think all of us have that in the back of our mind, that especially as you get older, like I now, from the perspective of being 46, see that, first of all, life is too short, and that, second of all, very unexpected things can happen, that life can literally change in the blink of an eye. But I think the part that we ignore is that as freelancers, we are the business, that like you as a whole person are your business. And our health and happiness are so closely tied to the business that I think we need to pay more attention to it for our own business success and not only for work-life balance purposes. So I think, I would say, as a lot of freelancers would probably agree with, if I have a week where I consistently sleep 8 hours and get an hour of exercise a day, I feel like a different person than when I'm sleeping. I actually need a lot of sleep. So really, I feel pretty awful if I sleep less than about 7 hours. And I think as compared to a week where I sleep, 7 hours or less and only exercise once or twice, I feel like a different person when I do that consistently. And I think the mindset shift I need to make is seeing those things as business goals, not just as a goal to make myself feel happy and enjoy life, but to think like this is really tied to the success of my business to be a, healthy and happy person. So, Eve, any thoughts on that?
Well, one is directly related, because after we're done recording this podcast, I'm going to a meditation class.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Yeah, there you go. No, I totally agree. And I think that I've just come over to kind of come up against the idea a lot lately that basically, there's a never-ending amount of work to be done, from actual translation to the support tasks that make up our translation businesses. So you could work literally 24 hours a day if you wanted, but obviously mm-hmm. that's not possible. And the more you work, I don't think that makes us happy. And I can promise you, because I have worked, tried doing some of that, not 24 hours, but 14 hours or whatever. So mm-hmm. I think we have to ask ourselves, we have to take care of ourselves, and that in turn helps us be better and more focused business people, like you said. So. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning into this episode, and I'd like to add that in February, as some of you may have seen on Twitter or Facebook, we're planning an AUA, an Ask Us Anything episode, answering your questions. So if you'd like to submit a question for us to ask, please send those to us on Twitter at ebodeux, or at Corinne McKay, CorinneMckay, and Corinne's is all one word. Or you can also email us at the Speaking of Translation email address, and that is speakingoftranslation@gmail.com. And again, that's just one big word with no spaces or dashes, speakingoftranslation@gmail.com. So we've already received some really interesting questions, so keep them coming.
Yeah, I think we put the call out on Twitter, and we already have 6 or 7 questions for that AUA episode, but certainly room for more. And just a reminder that if you are listening to this on our website, you can now subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you in our next episode.